outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday. It's July 18th. We're back in the studio. What are you doing?
I'm trying to mix my green mix, and it was... I'm not going to tell you what happened. It's fine.
You didn't spill it again, did
No,
you?
I'm going to clean it. Okay. It's just like droplets on my own computer.
Oh, okay.
So then I went over there and shook it, and then it's still... I don't know. It's just retarded. I'm retarded.
Oh, well.
It's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're good? You're awake and everything?
Yeah, I've been awake. Okay. Just traffic blows today. Mm-hmm.
I know. What are you going to do? This is L.A., man. You know, you just go with the traffic and... You hope to get there on time.
Yeah.
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 How you doing otherwise? Everything good?
I'm good. See, this is why I would want to smoke weed. I wish I could smoke it because then these things like this wouldn't bother me. And I will say, you will find this interesting. So when I was away, I was like, I took a shotty off of while I was driving. And I haven't, you know, I don't smoke ever. Like, I just don't. And
right.
And then this is exactly what happens to me. As we're in the car and it's passed over to me, there's a cop that comes down, sees something past me, turns around, does a U-turn, and
wow.
I'm like, and the whole car is full of smoke, and I'm like, oh my God, what do we do? And
oh God, what a story.
The person in the car was like, just chill the fuck out, you're freaking me out. And I'm like, I can't, I don't smoke, I don't have to do. What do we, and like there's a pipe in the center console, and then there's like a lot of weed in the car, and I'm like, he's like, I have my card, and I'm like, not for this amount.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god.
You're not supposed to give it to other people either.
I feel like I'm in high school, and I was like freaking out all over again, and it was hilarious, and I'm like, this is why I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
And then it was fun. Then I was like on my, you know, little high for a while, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm like, we ran into like the weird like bums. Like, there's a guy who put on a play. Mm-hmm. Literally, I put on a play.
Really?
And I'm like, this is actually entertaining. And I'm like...
In the car?
No, we got out to get tacos.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Dude, like, putting on a play. And I'm like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Probably because I'm high. But anyway, yeah. And the thing is the next day, remember I was telling you, it makes me, like, all down and out and depressed and crazy?
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what happened.
Really?
Yeah.
So
I'm like, I just can't.
Stuff.
I haven't touched it in years.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it sounds like a good idea. I'll be fine. No. Anyway.
Oh, well.
So that was my experience.
Yeah.
I'm going to share it.
Sounds good. Well, you got to stay away from that stuff. What can I say?
You know? We'll leave that for you.
Shut up. All right. Well, we have a special guest in the studio. We might as well bring him in. And we have Art, right?
That's correct.
And
yes.
Do you want to give your last name or Art is
sure,
good
Art
enough?
Sure, Art Torres is fine. Sure.
Uh-huh. And Art is from Bounty Wars.
Yeah.
Which is a new show on Discovery. And I happened to watch it. In fact, when Alan Cardoza told me that one of you is coming in today, I was hoping it'd be you.
Oh, thanks.
Because you were my favorite on the show.
Well, after listening to that story, now I know I'm a bounty hunter. I love it.
Yeah. <you know.
laughs> I love to arrest her. Look at her. Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
And the funny thing is, I've never done anything like that. I don't even smoke ever.
Sure. That's what they all say.
Yeah.
And the first time I smoke, and this is what happened, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, right on. I love
it. Out.
I love that.
Hilarious.
I love that.
Yeah. Now, let's see. You can only arrest fugitives, right? I mean,
I can only arrest people that are on bail from the court. We have no powers on a dog.
Okay.
But when you go to court, you post bond, you get out.
Right.
The bondsman hires us to track you down if you don't go to court. If you go to court, you'll never see us.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a minute. But
sure.
as far as you, don't worry about it, Bridgetta.
Oh,
you'll be
no,
fine.
I'm fine. No, I mean,
he's
the cop
not gonna
followed
arrest
us.
You.
No,
it
we'll get
fine.
High together. I'm good. Why is everybody upset? Why are we so uptight? Let's light one up and relax. What's going on?
I don't know. Because I never do anything because we had so like there was I don't know, and I'm like, oh my god. Not only do I not I don't ever do this, and I don't understand like what laws are what, and it's like I have my card, chill, and I'm like, not for that amount.
And not for two of us. The card does not say for two.
Exactly.
Party of one.
So, all right, let's we'll get back to the show and everything, but let's find out a little bit about you. Are you originally from L.A.?
Yeah, I'm from L.A. Original. Yeah. Grew up in Santa Monica, went to Uni High, and I've been in L.A. for almost all my life. I've lived.
Really?
I mean, I've been abroad. I mean, I've lived in Texas. I've lived in Arizona. But for the most part, L.A. is
okay.
My home.
Where did you go abroad?
I've been all over the United States chasing bad guys from New York and back.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. Sounds good.
That's pretty fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you grew up here.
That's correct.
And like what, during the 60s or something? Or
50s. 50s, do I look great for 80? No.
Yeah, you do. You look great.
No. I grew up here in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Yeah. And yeah, you know, I'm 51 years old, and I feel okay, and I feel good, and
you're 51. It's not the 50s. You were younger than I am. Give me a break.
Well,
you lived in the 60s.
Let me tell you something. Every ache is a little different now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I could fall down, get up. Now I fall down and I crawl. It's really awful.
No, it's terrible, man.
I'm trying, though, I swear.
Yeah.
If you notice in the show, my son is the other guy, the monster.
Right.
He's my runner.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. Why do I need to run?
Yeah.
I've been running for like 50 years. Most cars don't last 20 years. How am I going to last 50? I'm kidding.
That's true. Are you going like through a crisis now because of your age? I mean, have you gone at all?
You know, I did that, I think, in my 40s, honestly.
Mm.
You know, I did the weightlifting thing. I tore my chest muscle. You know, I mean, I came up with all kinds of great things to hurt myself.
Right.
Trying to make sure that I'm a man.
Uh-huh.
I raised six kids.
Wow.
Yeah. My oldest is 29. My youngest is 12.
Wow.
And my son's in the show. He's 24. He's 6'4", about 270.
Uh-huh.
Graduated college football player. I mean, you know, I've been there, done all that.
Yeah.
So now I'm over it. You know, like she said, you know, get high every once in a while. You'll be fine with it. It'll be
right. So
then have my green tea later. You know, recover. It's great. Yeah.
Exactly.
So you're not chasing youth or anything at this point, huh?
No, I'm all done with that. I did it. You know, I went through that. Like I think it's like 35 to 45. You got like a nuts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. It does happen then.
Wait, nuts
but
now?
Then you hit,
you know why? Because, you know, when you're 20, you think, God, 40, man, that's just old.
Yeah.
You know, then when you're 40, you're like, shit, I'm old. Yeah. You know, then you hit 50, I go, man, I'm really old.
You're really old. Ah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm over it. Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm old.
Exactly.
I'm
there's nothing
like
we can
I'm
do about
old.
It.
Yeah. Now I'm having my, like, oh my God, I'm freaking out, like 40 soon. Well, not soon, but like.
Soon, you got
plenty of time. Oh,
you'll be fine.
Years.
Yeah.
You're at your sexual peak right now, just so you know.
Well, you know what?
I'm just saying.
You would say that, but I think I've been in my sexual peak since I learned what sex was.
And you
there's
say,
a whole other story.
And they're
there.
Trying to ban marijuana. Is that ridiculous?
You see, and they think women don't like sex,
thank
right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So you're an L.A. native.
Yeah.
And you grew up in Santa Monica, huh?
Yeah, I went to high school in West L.A.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any siblings?
Nope. Well, I have a half brother and half sister, which is really a long story. But the short version of it is I didn't know they were alive for probably 20. Well, until I was in my 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
One lives, that's interesting.
Yeah, one lives in Colombia and one's a art framer guy out in Pasadena.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he looks nothing like me. He's a little tiny guy.
Really?
He sounds like me, but he's just a small guy. And, you know, my mom was Colombian. She was really nuts.
Yeah.
She kidnapped all of us, to be honest with you.
Are you
really
serious?
Crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
And I didn't realize that until I started talking to him.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, and I was like, yeah, you know, I don't do good when people put their hands on me. He goes, me neither. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
I'm talking about bounty hunting. He goes, no, remember mom kidnapped us? I'm like, no, I do not remember that.
Wow.
But then my dad kind of refreshed my memory.
Right.
And yeah, crazy. Anyways,
are you guys close now?
Somewhat close. I mean, you know, it's weird. When, like, if I came up to you and I said, here's a picture of your mom, you'd be like, wow, that's weird. Well, when he gave me the picture of our mom, I went, okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, hi. You know, and I mean, I got to get to know him. And I mean, he is my blood of some sort, right?
Right.
So, but it was weird. But yeah, we're okay. We're good.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
So I want to know, sorry, like some of the crazy, I mean, you've been everywhere, you know, on all kinds of crazy adventures. I want to know.
Crazy stuff.
And I'm sure everyone out there is probably like, what is the craziest thing or one of the craziest stories?
I'll tell you a great story. We were a bail bondsman had written this bond and he didn't get a lot of information. So his boss called me up and said, hey, listen, teach this guy a lesson. I'm like, no problem. I love teaching lessons. Let's go. Mm. So we're down looking for this guy, and the application was very minimal. It said that he was a motorcycle guy, and he was wanted for transportation of illegal firearms. I didn't think twice of it, right? Okay.
Right.
3 a.m, I'm crawling around. I find him. Long story short, I find his girlfriend. His nickname was Francois, and or Frenchie, whatever. So I'm on the side of this house, and I hear this guy kind of with a French type of accent, and I'm going, God, it's got to be my guy. It's got to be my guy. So, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go in there. So there's a door, like, on the side of this house in a funny spot, and I'm thinking, this is crazy. So I tell this kid, listen, here's a shotgun. Do not do anything. Do not shoot me. Follow me and just, you know, do what I tell you. No problem. I opened the door, and it was one of those dope doors. In other words, they had a drywall within the drywall.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So when you open the door, you kind of got inside the drywall, and then the door kind of closed behind you.
Mm.
So now I got him trying to get through the door, trying to follow me in.
Right.
And meanwhile, I'm stuck in the drywall like this.
Oh, shit.
So I take a knife, and it's about 3 a.m. There's music playing or whatever. I take a knife, and I cut myself out of this drywall.
Oh, my God.
Right? And I kind of like fall forward, and there's bicycles like along this little area.
Yeah.
And I fall like, you know, like a cartoon. I fall all over. Noise everywhere,
oh my
right?
God.
I come up with my gun, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I could hear myself, right?
Yeah.
Nothing, right?
Good.
I keep walking. I go to the first door, and I got my hand on the door, and I'm kind of listening, and I hear nothing. I go to the next door, and it's like a catty corner. Put my hand out, and I hear the guy say, I think there's somebody out there. And as soon as he said that, I kick the door open. He's got a gun in his hand. He's coming around. But I drew down first. So I have him down. My guy, I can hear him, you know, climbing over the same bicycles, but I knew he was going to be a few minutes behind me, so I got him at hold, right? The girl that's on the bed starts screaming, ah! I'm like, listen, shut up. She goes, I'm calling the cops. I go, hurry. He's going to be dead in 2 seconds if you don't. She calls the cops, and this is a true story. I said, what did they say? They said, good luck. Because I already called them, told them I was there.
Yeah.
So this dude, right, I mean, as I'm doing that, my other guy finally shows up, shotgun over my shoulder, which if he would have shot it, I'd have been deaf. But it was over the top of me. We're like this, and I go, buddy, you got 1 second. I'm going to kill you right here. And he knew I was serious.
Wow.
Drops his gun. End up, he was from some big bike gang. I'm not going to say who, but he was from a big bike gang.
Mm-hmm.
Took him to Orange County Jail, and he's like, man, you got balls the size of L.A.
Oh, shit.
And I said, you know, one of the policies that I have for myself is I never investigate the person other than what they got. Like, I don't know if he's a mass murderer. I mean, he could have been, but I don't freak myself out, because if I'd have known the gang that he would belong to,
you would have done it.
I would have never gotten in that house. I'd be like, you know what, this could be bad. That's a story.
Yeah. With something like that, I mean, and knowing that it came from this big biking or whatever, is it like mad respect that he like calls off the boys, or like do you have to worry about him having the rest of the gang come after you?
No, because what I try to do is, like, when we were sitting at the jail and it was all said and done, we were kind of laughing. I go, listen, no disrespect. I mean, he didn't commit a crime to me.
Right.
It's like, you know, he lent me $10,000 and I said later.
Right.
So he chased me down and I chased him down and, you know, hey, listen, you didn't go to court. You know,
right.
You have, you know, $100,000 out there, and the bondsman's out. So,
right.
You know, nothing personal. 99.9% of the time, people are pretty cool. They get it. I mean, they know we're coming eventually.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, we're not cops. We're not stopping crime and, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Now, when did you start this line of work? When did you get into it?
About 1985.
Wow. So that's quite a long time that you've been doing this.
Yeah.
Was this like the first thing you did when you went into the job world? Or?
No. I was in the military. I graduated high school in 78.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then in the 80s, I started in the car business.
Uh-huh.
And I ran car dealerships for about 28 years.
Really?
Yeah. So,
wow. That's so funny.
Yeah. So chasing bad guys was like actually a part-time, like, you know, golf. Or I did martial arts. I did Aikido for like 13 years. But really, the deal was, you know, chasing bad guys for fun.
Right.
And
so that's why you got into it? I mean,
yeah, a friend of mine was a sergeant on the PD in San Diego, and God rest his soul, his name was Gordon Redding. He was like the man. And he called me one day. He says, hey, this guy, Reader Bail Bonds, is looking for a bounty hunter. I'm like, oh, what's that contain? But back then, it was like, you know, a gun and opportunity. I'm like, yeah, I'll do a gun and opportunity. I was young, and I was built like a brick, you know, brick shit house, so I figured, I'm Superman. Anyways, I was dumb.
Yeah.
But that's how it started. And now the laws have kind of changed back and forth. But I've been doing it ever since. And then I kind of got into the car business about 6-7 years ago. And I started. I lived in Vegas for about 5 years.
I see.
My wife and I separated, and I went to Vegas.
When did you live there?
About
6 years ago.
6 years ago. Thank
oh,
you.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
Really? Did he just say that?
He just said that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He was just he was just having a metaphoric moment right
there. Yeah.
There
you go.
He was like, you know, I felt you've been to Vegas. That's because I said it.
Oh, yeah, right.
A brain fart.
That was awesome. That's old age. I love that.
Yeah, you see me forget quick.
No, I do the same thing. He's like, hey, you're really here. Yes, I am. I'm here. I'm kidding. But yeah. Anyway, so I came back and. But, you know, basically I've been a bounty hunter for 20-some plus years.
Right.
So
now, I watched the show the other day, and I wasn't sure about the whole process. So tell us how this goes. Now, somebody is charged with something, right? And then they want to be released. So then they get... How did they get out?
Well, what they... No, here's what happened. You go to jail.
Explain to someone who doesn't know anything
about
bail.
Sure. Well, here's what happens. You go to jail.
Right.
And when you go in jail, most of the jails either tell you you can bond out or you can just sit in jail until you go to court.
Mm.
Of course, most people go, I want out. And some jails have postings of bail bonds on the jail list.
Mm.
Some of them hand them, you know, copies of Yellow Pages. Some people know bondsmen. Like, you know, you're in jail. And guy says, hey, call my brother Bob. He'll take care of you.
Yeah.
You call Bob, he's a bail bondsman. So the bail bondsman posts a, what they call a bond or a surety.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically hired by the insurance company. So
So
a bondsman can write up to, you know, millions of dollars. I mean, depending on the experience and depending on the credit line he has with the insurance company. But you write the bond, person gets out of jail, gets a new court date, and goes to court. Now, the bond follows him all the way through his court date. Somewhere along that way, usually what they do is they forget to go to court, or I went to court, they didn't call my name. I stood there for an hour. I'm a busy person. We get what they call a letter of forfeiture. And it's a notice saying that, hey, this guy didn't show up, and the bondsman has 180 days to... get you. And either by him walking back into court or us taking him back into court or whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is if we don't do that, 99% of the time they'll get an extension. But still, bottom line is you got to pay the money. So say the bond's $50,000. The guy puts up 10%, $5,000. The bonds ends up for $50,000. He owes $50,000 to the court. You could do a couple of those, you go out of business.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that when someone goes to jail, I mean, can they pay the $5,000? I mean, they're pretty
No, you can't pay the 10% to the jail. You can pay the whole bond. So if your bond's $50,000 and you happen to have $50,000 on you, you can go ahead and post it and they'll let you out.
But if you don't, then the bondsman charges you for it.
It charges usually 10%.
Right.
Somewhere around 10%.
And if you don't have that kind of money, what happens?
They send you.
They
sit in jail.
Yeah.
They just sit in jail.
Oh, they'll sit in jail.
Yeah, they just sit in jail. Wow. And they go to court. Right now, to be honest with you, right now the bond business is very difficult because the jails are so full.
Yeah.
Right now, if you get sentenced to 90 days in jail, you do about 3 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
geez. Yeah. So it's not, I mean... It's good for the criminal, but it's not good for the normal person.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
Yeah, it sucks for our business.
Yeah. So they jump bail, and now it's your job to go and find them, right?
Correct.
So the bondsman can get his money back.
Correct.
And everything.
Correct.
Okay. Now, so wait a minute. So they only need to get back the money that... Well, if he goes to court, they get the whole money back.
They get the 10% goes away no matter what happens.
What do you mean it goes away?
The person never gets that money back. When you put up that bond, it's gone.
Right.
Now, what happens is if you don't go to court, the bondsman and the person himself and the co-signer, they call him the indemnitor, the co-signer, they're in lieu for all that money.
Yeah.
So that's when panic starts happening. That's when we show up at doors and start kicking in doors and, you know, asking friends. And, you know, it kind of sucks, really, when you think about it. 3 a.m, hey, I'm there with a, you know, gun over my head. Where are you?
Yeah.
You know, it blows.
And financially, it's a risky business for the guy that puts out the money and everything.
Well, it is. But at the same time, most, you know, here's the deal. We're not bailing out murderers and rapists and, you know, psychopaths. It's, you know, DUIs, petty thefts, bad checks, you know, people in that nature. I mean, they're felony, they're misdemeanors. But, you know, you go to a party. We go to a party. We're high, right? We get pulled over. That's a damn shame. Where's your card? I have a card for one. Okay, you go to jail. Fantastic. She goes to jail. There's nothing wrong with her. She just got caught up, right?
Right.
She wants out.
Right.
So what's the best thing to do? Call a bond and get me the hell out of here and I'll deal with it. Now, she's not going to not go to court. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
You know, it's usually 90% of the time it's that way. And every once in a while, we've worked on some big bonds where, you know, there's some bad, I mean, they leave the country. They go to Mexico, they go to South America, they leave.
Yeah. And then you don't bother with them, right? While they're out of the country? Or
well,
do
you know.
If the bond goes up.
Yeah, it depends on the bond goes is, up, right?
Well, here's the thing.
It's worth a ticket to Colombia.
Exactly.
I've been to Colombia since I'm Colombian. But I will say, legally speaking, we're not allowed to go to other countries.
Right.
Off the record.
But I have gone on vacations to different parts of the world. But, you know, for the most part, you know, it's within the United States 99% of the time. You know, every once in a while they take off. And some you don't find. I mean,
right.
I mean, if Mexico opened up their borders to us, you know, at that level, man, we would be so busy arresting people.
Really?
It would be out of control.
Yeah.
And another place I found out is a place called... oh, my God. It's in Honduras. It's a little island across from Honduras, man. Mm-hmm. I'm going down there to go on vacation again. And it's amazing, man. It's like a third world country. There's no laws. I mean, it's like cowboys and Indians.
Wow.
I can't wait.
Really? Yeah,
that's kind of rad. That's your
vacation dream, cool,
huh?
Yeah.
You can go there and be John Wayne.
And I'm going with another female who's a badass, too, man. She's like undercover. And you'd never know. I mean, it looks like her. Beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
That's
what
I used to want. Thank you. But that's what I used to want to do, actually. I was going to training at the FBI Academy when I was younger. Because
right
I wanted to do profiling.
Yeah, right on. I got this gal. Believe it, her name is Zora. I like that
That's
name, right?
Awesome.
Yeah. She's not on her show, but she's, you know, she's a bad. I mean, she's like, really looks like her.
Yeah.
And you would never know in a million years. But she's a licensed PI. She's been all over the world. As a matter of fact, I've had her on a case where, again, it was another biker group, and she had to grab this dude, and we had tased this guy. And again, we found out later when he was a kid, he used to play with him, so it didn't affect him. It just pissed him off.
God.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he just finished, smoking some coke, I guess, you know, and he took off with her on. I mean, she literally had him wrapped around his arm, went through a window door with her on.
Really?
And kept on him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then here come all the biker, you know, the biker guys are coming in.
Yeah.
So my guy, one of my other bounty hunters, which has nothing to do with this show, he's chasing her. I'm going to my car getting my shotgun. I was like, here they come.
Yeah.
I got my shotgun out. We got him at bay. And I mean, it was out of control.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it was crazy. But you know, it's all good. I mean, and just back to the show. The whole idea, the premise is that we have three teams. We're all competing for $10,000.
Right. And each team has three people in it.
Each team has three people. I have I have a female, my son.
Right.
And then there's team Adrian. There's Adrian, Anthony, and
Art, right?
No, I'm Art.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But
no, there's three different teams. There's team Adrian, team Art, and team Chris.
Right.
And Chris has got three guys. Adrian's got three guys.
Right.
And I have
and
three
you
people.
Got three guys.
What's his name? Adrian and I have like two prettiest girls. And then the other guys are like three fat guys. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know how that
the
works.
Guys in the valley, right?
Yeah, and they're actually pretty damn good. No, they're from Santa Barbara. They're actually really good.
So you guys cover the valley, right?
No, we cover all over. I mean, this competition was from here to the desert. Like, we spent 4 days in Palm Desert.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So I have a question too. So do you work for certain bail bondsmen, or do you work for like a whole broad area? How does that exactly work?
They find us. You know what I mean? I got a guy right now. There's a guy in Pasadena I'm looking for, and the bondsman's out of Alabama.
Okay,
so he called me and says, hey, I need you to find this dude, and we're going to go find him and take him back.
That's cool.
Yeah,
okay.
So you have to do some investigative work as well, right? To track
them
down and find out
You have to have some background, you have to have access to certain. I mean, like I can go on the computer, put your name in there, and tell you everywhere you lived.
Wow.
I know your social, I know everything.
Yeah.
So there's some responsibility with doing the deal.
This is why you get a PO box and everything goes to your PO box. Thank you, right here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Including every
bill. Yeah, well, here's how they get you is like, you know, when you go to those zoos, you know, like you say you go to the LA Zoo or the LA, whatever, go to a concert, they have those things where you win a free car.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you're like, well, I want to make sure they get a hold of me.
Yeah.
I need my car.
Yeah.
And you put your address on there. That's how they gather all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
P.O. box.
Wow.
Right here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
but nobody knows where I live. Not one person.
But you need an address for your driver's license.
It's my P.O. box.
Really?
In California, you can do that because of celebrity law.
Yeah, that's true.
Really?
Yeah. And I've had stalkers and stuff, so
I can't imagine why.
I don't know. I have no clue.
That must be your third eye. I don't know what that is.
Plus, today with P.O. boxes, you can actually give an actual address with a suite number.
And that's what I have. That's exactly
but here's the next level of that. When she gives her P.O. box, she's got to give an application with her real address on it.
10
exactly.
years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So if you've done it for a long time, she's pretty smart. But, you know, we have what we call trap calls. I mean, there's so many different ways to find her.
Right.
It'll blow your mind.
Right.
And we used to have even the U.S. Marshals use a thing called pinging, where they're able to ping cell phones. Like, they can tell you exactly where you're at.
Where the phone is,
yeah. Don't you have to be on the phone call for a certain amount of time?
No, not at all. Well, here's the thing. It's kind of changed over the time. Of course, us bounty hunters in the bill, where we destroy everything we find. So when we had access to pinging, every bounty hunter used it recklessly.
Right.
And so that went away. The Congress said, okay, there's something going on here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're not cows. What's going on? So, I mean, it helps. Not that they ever help us, because I would never say that on air.
Right.
But if you know somebody in law enforcement, sometimes that helps.
Got it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So, yeah, no, I'm just saying.
He's like, they're on my payroll.
No, I did not say that.
I'm kidding.
I know nobody on payroll.
Me neither.
Thank you.
So you get your authority from the court, right?
Basically. I mean, bail originated like in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
It was... It was like, you know, it's an extension of jail. In other words, it was too many people in jail, so they had to figure out a way to get people out of jail.
Mm.
So in reality, you're really still in jail. You're just getting the privilege to go hang out.
Right.
That's why you lose all your privileges and all your rights. That's why you don't have right to, you know, cable TV with us.
Oh,
you know,
really?
We can, you know, there's no Sabbath. There's no, you know, like, you know, law enforcement has misdemeanors. They can only go after people up to like midnight or something.
Mm.
Some weird nonsense. Us, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you'll go in any time.
I've been everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter when, where, who, why. I mean, you know, people go, get out, I'm calling the cops. Well, hurry up, because I'm not going to wait very long.
Yeah.
You know, they always say, you know, I'm gonna call the cop. Well, you're not scaring me with that one. You do it better than that. And I've had some cops, honestly, some cops don't know what a bounty hunter is. I mean, they look at us and go, huh?
Really?
Yeah. And I had one guy, I was in Vegas.
West or something? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was in Vegas, and we were getting ready to hit this house, and you know, I would call the cops and go, you can't go in there. I go, oh, you're wrong. I go, I'm going in there. Well, you, I'm a police officer. Congratulations. Keep the peace. You're doing a great job.
Right.
If I need help, I'll call you. Stay out here. Don't go inside. You have no right to go in that house.
Right.
He looked at me, called his lieutenant, waited about 20 minutes, goes, they said you can go in. I said, yeah, I know. Just stay in the street. Don't need you. And it's funny, because this house we hit, they were professional credit card makers.
Wow.
And this girl was so fine. Oh my God. She was hiding under a mattress in the garage. She was all messed up, right?
Oh,
but
my
she was
God.
Fine as hell, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We grab her, I'm like, oh my God. My guys are like, Jesus Christ. And they, you know, they have the you know, weird light. Like, they got like a glow light in their bedroom.
Uh-huh.
All kinds of freaky stuff.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but in the main room,
everything.
Yeah, yeah, in the main room they had like, you know, boxes of credit cards. I mean, American Express, MasterCard, Visa.
Wow.
I mean,
shit.
So when I open the door, the cop comes in, I go, hey, you might want to look in here. He's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
No, he was happy as all hell, but
yeah,
that's
but normally when it comes to that kind of stuff, like drugs and stuff, I try not to get involved. Like, you know, if a guy has a little dope on him, I just have him throw it on the floor. I don't feel like being in court for 6 months
to say
I saw it or how I saw it or
right.
You know, did I know him?
Right.
I'm not a cop.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's not really part of your job.
I'm not a cop. I tell you, I'm not law enforcement. I'm a bounty hunter. We're different. We're in a different. Our arrests are federal arrests. They're not even state arrests.
Right.
So I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Party on, that's what I say.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, we're talking to Art from Bounty Wars, and that's a show.
On Discovery.
On Discovery. It's a new show on Discovery.
What night
and
is it on?
Well, here's the deal. We were supposed to be 3 Sundays in a row.
Right.
But the first Sunday we were, you know, blown out there.
Right.
I guess we had like 700,000, 800,000 people or some big number that were watching us.
Nice.
So you got moved.
So we got moved.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We're going to be on Wednesdays after American Guns.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's like a Ron Howard production, which I guess 10 million people watch.
That's amazing.
People on Mars watch him.
Nicely then.
Yeah. So they're going to put us after that to see, I guess, to see if, you know, how we do.
You know what's interesting that I found Discovery Channel was doing this? Because my friends have a brand new show on Discovery Channel right now
on
Thursday nights. And it's called Property Wars.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah, they're good friends of mine. And the same thing, they were going to air like 3 episodes in a row at late at night on a weird time. And then they're on Thursday nights now.
Right.
So they're just waiting to see what
exactly.
happens to
them. So sort of test it first, huh?
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, like, you know, I have lots of friends. So a buddy of mine is an attorney, young guy. He's like 26, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his mom and dad are visiting from Chicago. And he says, hey, come meet my parents. So I get down there like, oh my God. I'm like, what? What? Oh, you're from that show. I go, what show? The Bounty Hunter show. I go, yeah. She's all of Chicago was voting for you. What? I go, really? She says, yeah. They give me a big hug. You know, she goes, I need pictures. Oh, she goes, of course, I get pictures with that. You know, it was cute. You know, I'm like, she goes, my sister thinks you're so hot. I'm like,
okay, welcome to the reality world. I can fill you
right?
in on the whole thing.
It's crazy, right? I was somewhere getting, I was parking my car or something. Some dude goes, dude. I'm like, dude. He goes, hey, I saw you on that TV show. I'm like, thanks.
And then you're going to get now, because I get this a lot, I know you. And you're like, no, I don't. And you're like, no, I really know you. And you're like, no, you know me from TV.
Yeah, that's funny, right?
So you're going to, this is going to be your new thing.
That's really weird. Yeah. I've already started experiencing some of that. Like, people look at me like, I was at Universal Studios last night with my daughter, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to get a t-shirt made. Yes, I'm on TV.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. And I told her, I said, do I got a booger hanging out of my nose? I can see people going, looking at me like,
he like, looks familiar.
What's going on? My zipper down? What's going on here? You know, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's cool. I mean, listen, you know, if the show goes on and it goes great, fantastic.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, but it'll go great. You know, I mean, I don't watch TV, but I watched that one. Alan Cardoza is the person that wrote and produced
the show. Him and Logan Clark.
Right. Yeah. And they're both partners. Yeah. And Alan does a show here on...
Yeah, you know, that's right.
Alan.
Yeah.
He does Answers for the Family here. And I'm really excited for him. You know, I mean, he put this together and everything. So how did they find you? Did they have a casting call?
Well, on this particular show, they did have a casting call. Mm-hmm. But I've known Alan and Logan for about 20 years. We all lived together. Logan and I lived in Lake Arrowhead for probably 10 years.
Oh.
And I also do the child transports.
Do you do that as well?
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's what they do. And that's amazing, because I think that that's a huge thing, not just child abduction, but also even a lot of females have been disappearing. Yeah. There's a whole other...
And runaways too, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, we do it all. Runaways. We do children with, mental, issues. We had a guy just the other night, we did... he likes to fight. You know, he's like this 18-year-old kind of spaced out cadet. So I usually get those guys, right?
Right.
And
great.
Yeah, yeah. I always get the real maximum crazy. I remember one time we were going to the house, me and my son, you know, it was a monster, right? And the mom comes out. He goes, you know, he's going to kick your ass. And I go, you know, I said, can I just say this to you, lady? I said, listen, I've never had a 16 or 17-year-old kick my ass. But if he does, I'm just going to go home.
No, I'm more power to him.
Yeah, I'm done. You know what I mean? And it's funny, the perception of the family, because, you know, we walk in and they're like, oh, shit. Because I'm fairly big, but my son's like a monster. Yeah. So but they see us and they're like, ah. And I'm like, and I'm like, you have any problems? And he goes, no, sir. I said, are we good to go? Yes, sir. I said, can you get your ass moving? Yes, sir. It's fantastic. And the parents, like, they're like, staring at me like, what in the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, I've told Alan, and we've joked about it, but the truth of the matter is we need programs for these parents. Because in hours, I mean, we've driven kids like Utah, you know, in the car. Mm. And you'd be surprised, I mean, how much you get to find out about them. Mm. And the saddest part, and I mean, not to say this is bad, but a lot of these kids are adopted. So it's really sad. I mean, there's no connection between the parents and these children.
Yeah.
And they're really fucked up. And when you talk to them, they'll tell you everything. They'll tell you why they're, I mean, but parents, I raised six children. After a while, you know everything.
Right.
You know, I don't want to hear your shit. Yeah. Well, this is the way I did it when I was your age.
Yeah,
Not good.
No, huh? You gotta listen to them.
You gotta listen, man. Yeah. And doing this work that I've been doing, like, you know, I try to have a good relationship with my kids. You know, my policy with them is just tell me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, short of, you know, I shot the president, I won't be shocked. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've done it all. You know what I mean? I've seen it all. I've done it all. I mean, my one daughter told me, Dad, I tried marijuana. Yeah, okay. I said, all right, maybe we got to try it together one day. That is not the end of the world, even though some parents go, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's like mine.
Yeah, you know, if you do that, guess what happens? The kid goes, oh, shit, they're going to go crazy about that. Wait till I tell them I did a line of coke. They're really going to fucking fake. Not cool. You got to just go, you know, okay. Just don't be stupid. Don't drive. Stay at home. You know, whatever you're going to do, life goes on.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there are worse things in life.
That's true.
That's really cool.
Like risking your life. I mean, you're really risking your life every day chasing these people.
Yeah.
How did your son get into this? I mean, did he just want to follow in your...
Well, he actually wants to be a cop. So, he went to college. He went to Midwestern State up in Texas. He was a defensive lineman.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's, you know, he's a monster.
Who's your team? Sorry, off subject.
Oh, I'm a Chargers guy.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know a Raiderette. That helps any.
Ravens, like? Baby.
Oh, really? That was my buddy. My buddy in Vegas was a big Ravens fan.
Yeah.
He had his room painted in blue. It was really weird. it was bizarre. Yeah, it was bizarre. Anyhow, but you know, he wanted to be a cop, so he went to college, got his criminal justice degree. Mm-hmm. But as he was growing up, you know, I kind of, you know, I used to take him with me, you know, when they, and him and his buddies, and it's funny because one of them was a player for UCLA, big guy's a monster. He doesn't play anymore, but they always thought they were badasses, so I take him with me one night, you know, and I'm in downtown LA, and I'm joking. They don't know that I'm joking, but I go to this really bad part of LA and go, listen, guys, just stay in the car. I'm going to go and check the back. I'll be back. Of course, I'm watching the whole time. They're in my truck, and they're freaking the hell out. They're about 15 years old. They're so damn cute. They're like, Jesus, I can just see their heads going back and forth. I get back in the car like, Dad, you can't leave us out here. You know, the badasses, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, no, with teens and stuff, sometimes they get kidnapped by their parents, right?
Yeah, oh, sure. So, child abduction, sure.
Right.
It happened to me as a kid, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, when you said your mom kidnapped you.
I relate to all that. Yeah, my mom kidnapped me. My dad went to work. She kidnapped me. We were living in an apartment complex, and I was little. I mean, I think I was about 4.
Wow.
And I remember sitting on the couch. I used to love ham, I guess. And the fireman, I remember him coming through the door. Next thing I know, I'm in a foster home for like 6 months.
Wow.
My mom splits back to Columbia. My dad's trying to find me. Dad finally hooks up with me. My hair is down to here. And I remember he had this green lozenge in his mouth. And I remember sitting there and he'd come into the, you know, coming to get me. And I remember being in that foster home. I used to get beat up. I mean, it sucked.
Wow.
I remember that, you know, as an adult.
Wow.
Yeah. And
They'll screw you up, huh?
What are you trying to say?
I mean, not you.
What are you trying to say?
I'm talking in general. Okay, you know. I mean...
What?
No, like the...
I'm not screwed up anymore, I swear.
I meant in general.
Trust that bad boy.
I don't know. Although you might be pretty messed up, we don't know about
no,
it.
No. No, you know, look, you know, life is life. You know when I do the mental check? Mm-hmm. It's like the other day I saw a dude in a wheelchair. Mm. Black guy, had one leg. Wow. In a wheelchair, begging for food. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm grateful for whatever happens to me in my life, because that sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how I kind of keep myself in check.
Yeah, you got to keep it in perspective, for sure, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's always worse things that can happen.
Exactly. Right. There's always someone out there who's way worse than you are.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you go through things to grow. I mean, I don't know, that's what I believe. I believe the universe deals you.
I don't know. Careful what you throw out, because it will come back to you.
Exactly.
For sure.
Karma's a bitch.
And only do it when you're high.
Yeah.
Because you won't remember the next day.
Exactly. <I'm
kidding. laughs> Now, what about, okay, so, you know, when you go after criminals and stuff here, you have their addresses and everything like this. What happens when you go abroad? If a father, like, kidnaps the kids, how can you even begin to find where they are?
Well, you know, social media is a
Twitter.
Huge, yeah, today huge, it is.
Huge
yeah.
thing. I got in trouble with that.
Yeah, right on, right?
That's why you do it after the fact.
Yeah, that's what I do now.
I'm like, yeah, this place was great 3 days ago.
Yeah. I don't check in. You know, Facebook, check in. My ass. I'm not checking in anywhere. Not good. But, you know, we found many children on Facebook. You know, because they, first of all, children are still children, so they need to have some connection, bonding with somebody.
Right.
And even crooks, for that matter of fact, you know, they need to have somebody that's helping them get through wherever they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in children particularly, you know, social media is big. Twitter accounts, Facebook, all that, MySpace, all that nonsense, yeah.
Right.
Actually, what's really interesting, this is kind of fascinating, a really good friend of mine, their cousins were kidnapped when they were younger by their mother. And they've been gone for years, and the father's been trying to find them. And, of course, like, we don't know what she's been fed with. And my friend actually found her on Facebook. They all been searching for years, and randomly, searching, and he's like, that looks like her, and that's her name, and what?
Wow.
And didn't want to do anything and kind of turned it over to the investigator and to the father. And then they just reunited. This was, like, a year ago. And they just reunited, like, last month.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And I've worked, you know, I've done stuff where I had to play a priest and I had to go to Columbia.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was some pretty crazy.
You was a priest?
Yeah.
That's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
That I'd like to see the outfit.
I had the whole, you know, I had the cleric and everything. And, oh, it's,
wow.
We flew. What happened was is the... the parental father hired us to find out where the daughter's at, and they were in Columbia, and they had lots of money.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we're not going to go there and pull this kid out. I got to do something better, because, you know, it's not like that anymore. You're not going to walk in and walk out of Columbia.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went as a priest, and it was funny, you know, because I had the whole cleric thing all the way over, and it was pretty bizarre. And then, you know, I get to the house, you know, and it's, you know, it's in a compound. You know, rich folks in Columbia have compounds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they have police on the door, and then they got security, and then they're within these walls.
Wow.
So you're not doing anything slick, right? So we get the rent. I'm like, oh my God, if I don't put this up, I'm dead.
Yeah.
And so of course the parents come out, and you know, it's funny. You have to carry yourself differently as a priest. You know, you can't be.
Yeah.
I don't know what that word is, but it's really weird. So they're getting used to me, and I, you know, I'm trying not to, you know, to quote scripture because I'm not that religious. I mean, I believe in God in my own way, and He's helped me through life, but I don't know, you know, James 3:12.
I just don't know.
Right? I mean, I don't know. If that means something, I guess it does. But so these people had two paintings. One was of Mother Mary, right? Okay. And the other one was of Jesus or Jesus, whichever you feel. And of course, it was hilarious because I got this whole get up and they go, we want to show you something in Spanish. Oh, and I'm like, oh, fabulous. And so I go in this room. And this,
fabulous.
Yeah. there's this like 8-foot painting of Mary. I'm like, oh my God. In my eyes, if they could have read my eyes, I'd have been, you know, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. I kept my cool.
Yeah.
And now they put their hands on me. And I'm like, oh my God. So,
you're like, this isn't happening right now.
So I put my head down and I'm to myself, I'm thinking, okay, you know, ABC, 1, 2, 3. I'm saying whatever I can to get my head to move.
Yeah.
And I raise my head and their tears are running down their eyes.
Oh,
and I do one of the cross movements and they're like, oh. And I'm like, oh. Right? Something, okay, good, I got through this shit, right?
Yeah.
I go around the next room, oh my God, there's a picture of Jesus right there. I'm like, oh shit, now I got the man there. But again, they put their hands on me, and I'm, you know, and this time I think, and my Spanish, and, you know, I grew up in LA. My Spanish is quasi okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to say all that shit in Spanish. So, you know, I'm doing like no words, like I'm so overwhelmed by seeing the guy with the beard.
Right.
And I'm, you know, I'm like, and and I look at them and I cross them and I'm like, you know, I'm like signifying my name on the forehead, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, this is hilarious, you know, and they're shaking in tears and I'm like, okay, that's enough of this shit. This might come back to haunt me. So, you know, long story short, and the funniest part is that the woman, she kind of started digging me. Like we went out one night. We went out to this club. And clubs in Colombia are off the hook.
They're
like
outside, really?
On top of a mountain, and everybody's eat out. You know, everybody's like, hey, yeah. You know, everybody's touching you. So we're sitting there, right? And she gives me a kiss on the cheek, and I'm like, say what? You know, and she was fine. I'm thinking, oh.
Yeah. No, dirty priest.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
dirty
yeah,
priest.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a priest, so I'm like, oh, I got my child. That was very nice.
My child.
Right. And I don't know if you said it to children, but I was kind of drunk, you know.
Yeah.
I was kind of fucked up myself, so I was kind of like, okay, that's good. So I grab him. I go, hey, dude, stay with your wife. You guys are freaking me out. Just hang out. We're not gonna have a three-way here. Hang out.
Yeah,
stay
yeah.
with her. I'm out of here. Long story short, I got them back together. She ended up coming back to the States. They worked it out, and it was a win-win for everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy, cool. Right? Yeah. Cause plus, she had an alien card. So I told her, listen, you know, if you don't cooperate with this cat, he's going to cancel your green card.
Right.
That's the reason why you have one. So, unless you don't ever want to come back to the States, which I think you do, you know, get with it. And little by little, you know, we're all happy, and it was just the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, on the TV show, you guys go in teams. In real life, do you also go with somebody else, or do you ever go alone?
Well, I've done it alone, but it's good to go in twos.
Yeah, I would not.
At least twos.
Yeah,
we go in threes because I think it's even better.
Right.
But you know, we're all, you know, we're money hungry. You know,
right.
So we're not doing this because we're trying to solve crime. We're trying to put money in our pocket.
There you go.
So every time we bring another person, it divides the pot a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right. And there's good strategy in the game because then they start going after the big bounty, you know. So now tell us a little bit about how the game is played.
Well, basically what happens is we go into a war room, and there's files or there's case numbers up on the walls with the actual crime.
And these are real case numbers?
These are real.
Okay.
The whole show's real.
Not, I didn't know if like there's...
It's not Repo Man, I swear. This is real.
I know.
Not to say that's not real, but it's not real.
It's not real.
Yeah,
I know.
It's not real. You and I could be actors on that, though.
I know. He's a good friend of mine, I know.
Yeah, right? That's awesome. And, I mean, the guy's making so much money, it's sickening, right? Anyhow, so you go in this war room, and then we pick a card, like the playing card, and whoever's got the highest card gets the first case. And then you know, it's like a round robin.
Right.
And then we get like 7 to 10 cases each.
Mm.
And then we head out.
see.
And, it was funny because it was very frustrating for me because some of the cases I got, like, if you're watching the show, a couple guys, they, like, walk to the door and the guy's in bad high.
Yeah.
I didn't have one of those guys.
Yeah.
Everybody,
yeah,
I had to chase down. I had to trick them. I mean, it was,
yeah.
I don't know what happened there. I was so pissed at the end of the stupid thing. It was, like, 3 weeks of shooting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I was, it was 12 hours, 13
yeah, yeah.
hour
They're
days.
Long days.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. That's normal.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Normal.
Yeah, I mean, they're in my house. You know, we're at, I mean, it was crazy. I mean,
yeah.
It was
so, I guess I have a question, like, with, that's why I was wondering, like, with the cases, I mean, I know they're public, you can look them up, but how does that work with being on TV? It doesn't matter because, you know, like, if you're, because I haven't watched the first show yet, so I don't know.
Right.
So, like,
obviously.
If you're, you know what I'm saying, with the cases, like, can you, do you have the right, do we have the right to film them? Is what I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
how do we get them on TV?
Right.
Oh, well, what we do is after we get done, there's, like, you know, there's a crew.
Make them sign releases.
Yeah, there's a crew.
And they don't sign it, it doesn't go on, basically?
Oh, we don't show their face.
Got it.
Depends on the situation.
Yeah.
How critical it was. Like, there was a time I was in somebody's house, we had the cameraman in there, and the lady says, well, I'm not going to sign. Mm. So all they did is they took a picture of us going into the room.
Yeah.
And then I had my radio with my mic on.
So they can use a sound.
Yeah,
you
can
use a
sound. But most people, I mean, we had executive producers with us during the whole, you know, each crew had a whole crew.
Right.
So we had our own mic people, we had our own producer, we had a crew, like 7-8 people. It was funny because we'd like pop out of the car, like 9 people.
Yeah.
People were like, holy crap.
Yeah.
What's going on? You know, I'd be like, oh, it's nothing. Don't worry about them. Worry about me.
Yeah.
But they kind of tell them, listen, tell your story. That way you have two sides to your story. Don't and 90% of the time, you know.
That's a good way to, you usually can make them sign it.
Yeah.
But I was just curious.
Yeah, and we had a gal like her, you know, those, you know, guys are like, okay. Yeah. Can you sign this?
Yeah. And I guess the funniest part in the first show was it was a new team though that caught the guy with the penis extender, right?
Yeah, that was Chris and Frank.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they emptied out his pockets and everything, and there was like a
penis
extender.
No, not a penis. Palm, an actual.
What's an extender? I don't know what the hell that is.
Well, thank God it's the first time I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
It looks like a penis. It goes over your little penis.
Shut
and
up.
It looks a little bigger of a penis.
Shut your face.
Yeah, but this one had like liquid and all kinds of shit on it. The guy had it in his pocket.
Wow.
So when they pulled it out, he was like, it looked like a giant turd, actually.
Oh,
so he threw it on the floor. He's like, what the? And he looked at it and goes, oh my God, that's a penis.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
No, oh my God.
Yeah, and the guy's like, that's the first time I've ever used it. He's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's true.
So he picks it up and it's all wet. He must have just used it. You're like, disgusting.
Yeah.
Nasty.
And he had been hidden by this neighbor, this older lady. Maybe he was doing her before that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, sick, man.
Is that gross for
you? Know, it's disgusting. You know, they could just take extends. Like, it would be better.
There you go.
Use your arm. Do something.
You know what though? There are some people that just need that help. I will say.
Yeah.
I've walked out on someone before.
I know. Oh, but how embarrassing to be seen with that on TV.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And scene.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
There's more to come. No, there's not.
Not for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, Art Torres from Bounty Wars on Discovery. So when is the next show, the next episode?
We understand it's going to be August. We understand it's going to be a Wednesday. We're just
August 6th, I think, possibly, because we have some other people coming in.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Maybe they know better than I know.
Well.
Yeah.
And do you have a Twitter that people can follow you at?
Actually, we have, I should have one.
You should have one.
Yeah,
you're really becoming a big movie star.
Yeah, someone else is supposed to get like a fan page or something.
Yeah, you need a fan page.
Yeah,
too.
We're working on that. But no, there's a Discovery.
I will teach you that.
Would you please?
I will.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, there's a Bounty Wars Facebook. It's called Bounty Wars.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
Cool. It's got all the channels and all the whatever's going on.
Yeah.
And everybody check it out. And
Please.
And see, it's a great show. I mean, you know, I watched the first episode. I was hooked on it. And I don't watch a lot of TV at all. So,
Yeah.
And definitely stood out. You know, I mean,
I'm going to watch it.
Please, you got to.
I will.
I'm humbled by those kind words. Thank you. Very nice.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Good luck, or better luck in the next episode.
Yeah, right on. For sure. I love that. Now, pass that blunt. Let's get partying.
Yeah. Awesome, man. All right. Brigetta, take care. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening. listening to Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta is an L.A. talk radio production where we say what we want.